music icon Artie Kornfeld, one of the most successful writers in rock history, with over 65 songs on the chart and over 120 platinum records as composer, publisher, producer, performer, manager, and promoter, comes the official memoir and tell-all story of growing up in the culture of American music. From Artie's breakthrough as the first vice president of rock in the music industry, to his collaboration with some of the biggest legends in music, to the building of a nation, the Woodstock Nation. Continuing in the footsteps of his mother, Shirley Kornfeld, who fought segregation by organizing freedom rides in the 1950s and 60s, Artie has been committed to fighting for freedom since childhood. This memoir is a look into the soul of the development of the rock culture through the eyes of someone who has been on the inside from the beginning, through Woodstock 69 and beyond, to a new spirit of the Woodstock Nation.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Jed Taylor.
Hey, it's Jed Taylor. How are you? Happy New Year, and welcome to the Spirit Show, Artie Kornfeld Spirit Show. We have a special show tonight, and we wanted to kind of start the new year off with a treat for everybody. Tonight, we're going to go over an album that is a hard-to-find album. It's considered a classic. Came out in the early 70s, and the name of the album is called A Time to Remember, and it's by the Artie Kornfeld Tree. And our guest tonight is one of the musicians and writers from that album, and his name just happens to be Artie Kornfeld. So, Artie, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Jed. Thanks for having me on.
So I need to ask now, for everybody who hasn't seen the Artie Kornfeld Tree album, you need to just Google it and do an image of what the album cover looks like. You know, it's classic artwork, and I guess my first question to you, Artie, is what was the inspiration around the Artie Kornfeld Tree and the cover, and, you know, what was the concept?
Well, the whole concept was, first of all, after spending so many years producing other people and having their dreams come true with their songs, I didn't do it to find results. Sometimes you just do something because it seems like the right thing to do. So I wrote the songs. Most of them I wrote on the sessions, and you know, and the tree on the cover was talking with Frank Andolino, my dear friend, Came up with the tree, and it's just Linda and I basically naked, and it spreads out. And, and if you look in the tree, you'll see almost everybody who played at Woodstock. And it's like something that's special to me. I don't even have a copy of it. Actually, Frank has the painting.
I have a copy of it in front of me. I'm looking. I see Jerry Garcia. I'm seeing all these different. It's funny because every time I look at it, something new kind of pops out. So the cover, the artwork is tremendous.
Well, the original painting is great. You know, I don't know how Frank wound up having it because I paid for it, but he's going to make me a copy of it, do a great photo, and I'll frame it because, as you know, I don't have anything on the walls here. So I'll be off the wall.
So listen, you do all these years of writing music like Dead Man's Curve and the Pied Piper and the Rain in the Park and the other things by the Cow Seals. You do all your producing. Why at this particular time, the Artie Kornfeld tree, did you just decide to be the artist and kind of let somebody else do the rest of the work?
Well, you know, people who know me know that, if I have a chance, I always give the best for their dreams. And this was sort of a dream of mine when I was like 11, you know, and I did have one album record out as Jess Wild when I was, 16 in 1958 or 7, yeah, about 16.
Yep.
And I just wanted to know what it was like because I'd had a hit with the Pied Piper with Steve as the Changing Times. I just wanted to do my songs and have my musician friends in and have my engineer in my favorite studio. And I was able to do it, you know, and because Dunhill Records, heard the demo and bought it, you know. And
so let's talk about the studio, Artie. Where did you record the Artie Kornfeld Tree?
Well, I did it at A&R in the same room where John did Imagine, you know. And I actually, I did it before he did that, and I don't know if it was before or after. And I had my engineer, Shelly Yakis, who even now did Breaking Benjamin and Rattle and Hum. And if you look up, you could Google anybody I mentioned. And these are when we were all kids at the very beginning of our careers and started working so hard and starting to actually be able to make livings at it and find out that we could actually change people's lives by what we did on record. At least those of us who really believe that, you know, this was a chance to help change things, you know, through music. So, I always felt that.
So the musicians that you had to record on this, let's just name a few, because I know they're probably not household names, but should be, and been on a lot of recordings. You want to go through?
Well, no. If anybody Googles Shelly Yakis, they'll just see about 500, records that went to number one as an engineer and producer. And, and then Hugh McCracken, who arranged The Thriller's Gone and played the guitar on it, and the Alicia Keys album that won the Grammy. And he's on about 400 or 500 records that were not. He was one of my dearest friends, him and his wife Holly and my late wife Linda and I. We lived near each other. We just were very good friends. And he said to me something very weird because I was used to my drummer and my bass player that I usually use, even with Huey. And he said to me, there are two kids that just got out of the Eastman School and they never played a session yet. But I want you to go with me on this, Artie. So without ever even meeting him, went in with sort of mapped out arrangements. It was Steve Gadds. Anybody here, if you Google Shelly Yakis or if you Google Steve Gadds or if you Google Tony Levin, you'll see names like Paul Simon. You'll see names like, you'll just see Billy Joel. You'll just see... Edgar Winter, you just see it all over the place, these people. You know, you'll see them in Wings, you'll see them on Imagine, on the double album, you'll see them on Billy's albums and Paul's albums. So it was like I couldn't believe when these guys played, because those who know music know Tony Levin performed King Crimson, but he is playing on so many things you have. He's playing bass. And he invented that stick bass, the electric upright bass. And I just couldn't believe how great these guys were. And Then on piano was, I believe, it was either Paul Griffin or Kenny Asher. And they played on Bridge Over Troubled Waters, whichever one it was. And I forgot which one. It's a long way back, and I probably lost half my mind at Deadman.
This is a powerhouse. This is a powerhouse bunch of musicians you have now.
Well, yeah, and then singing, you know, and then singing. I had Valerie Simpson. I had Dee Dee Warwick and Dionne. I had Melba Moore, you know, Minnie Riperton. You know, just the background singers I use when on the ones I use background singers, and to me it was just like wow. You know, I was like in another world. It was like so different on that side of the glass, you know, and it was really good to take, and also to take instruction from someone who was co-producing it with me, which was really Huey who arranged it. And, you know, and as I said, it was just a breakaway to say, hey, this is what's going on in my life. It's not just Woodstock, and this is the thoughts that led to that event, and the thoughts now, and they're still the same thoughts. And when we go through it, you'll find out that what's happening today, a lot of it is mentioned in these songs now.
So I want to play. We'll talk more about the Artie Kornfeld tree. There's a song I want to play. It's called Rock and Roll Babies. How did you come to write that song?
I was thinking about our generation, the war babies, and I just came into my head, war babies, rock and roll children, born in the shadow of a mushroom cloud, everybody screaming out loud. And this is weird because of the Iowa caucus and using religion the wrong way in America. It said, oh, preacher, we are dead, meaning America. Don't worry, the preacher said, because we got the Lord on our side. Everything is fine. We've got the Lord on our side, so what if we've blown our mind? So I was actually, that was more against Nixon, but it sure fits right now, not against Obama to me, but against what's happening with our government.
And this is you on lead vocals, and this was the first single that came off the Artie Kornfeld tree. We're going to play Rock and Roll Babies.
Yeah, I actually went to number one in L.A., and there was a full-page ad and an interview in Rolling Stone, and this was never promoted, and of course I was on to other things, like producing Bert Sommer's last album and doing the same band. Because I did them right, all in the same a couple of months.
Well, let's play it, Z-Man. Rock and Roll Babies off the Artie Kornfeld tree.
War children, a rock and roll babies, born in the middle of a mushroom cloud. Everybody screaming out loud.
Oh, we got the Lord on our side.
That's Rock and Roll Babies off the Artie Cornfield Tree, and that's an album that came out in the early 70s, and our guest tonight is the writer and the main focus of that album, Artie Cornfield.
Well, I'm the writer, the producer, the publisher, and co-arranger, so I guess I had something to do with it. Did you like it,
Ted? Oh, yeah, well, and I love it. I mean, I love the song, I love the musicians, and who was singing there? Was that you singing?
Yeah, that was me, you know, and, you know, I've only listened to the album maybe in the last 40 years. If I've listened to the album three times, you know, that's a lot.
So, you know? So what's it like, Artie, when you, you know, I mean, it fascinates me. I'm not a writer, you know, I'm a radio guy, and I know what it's like listening to my shows. I have a hard time. What's it like for you to listen back to these songs from 1973 that you've only heard a couple of times?
Well, it's surprising me because it's, you know, to me, if I heard this, I'd say, wow, this is really good. And that band is killer. And actually, that band is killer because they're all Hall of Famers, not Rock Hall of Famers. They're like musician Hall of Famers, you know, going back to Beethoven, coming up, you know, all over Beethoven. And this is these are the kids that roll over Beethoven, you know. And they are telling Tchaikovsky the news because they're playing. I'm listening and I'm saying, God, I'm so lucky that these guys are my friends, you know, and that we work together, you know, and they put out, like, they were the band.
Right.
And they were.
No, it's great. Rock and roll. So I want to go back just a little bit, right? So I know we're talking about the Artie Cornfield Tree.
It was against the Vietnam War, by the way. That song is definitely against the Vietnam War. And if I sing it tonight, it's against Afghanistan, because I don't think we should be there. You know, I'm not against Obama, but I am against being in Afghanistan. And this is definitely, you know, an anti-war song, because we were born in the shadow of a mushroom cloud. We just nuked two Japanese cities.
Right.
You know, so it's, you know, and that's the fear that's still, you know, holding everybody. And in my way, it was also my line when John said, imagine no religion, you know, and that's why I wasn't making fun. I was just saying the answer is not in the preacher. It's inside yourself, you know, and what you do with the time you have. And that is the love you'll make.
So I'm interested, Artie, because, you know, again, I know you, and, you know, you're a producer, you're a writer, you know, you've done it all. But I'm interested to know that what was the initial bug when you were young? Were you originally an artist, a singer, or was it writing, or what did you start off doing?
Well, I started out in New York. They had, for people in areas that didn't have money, a program that came about the fifth grade where you could rent an instrument. And I went, and I wanted to be a drummer, and they had no drums, and I got a trumpet. And so I took that. By the time I moved, and we moved to North Carolina, and I worked so hard at that, I took it till I became all-state North Carolina first chair solo on the trumpet in the North Carolina High School Symphony Orchestra. And I wasn't aiming to be there. It's just that I was really good at playing the trumpet, you know. And thank God I bought a guitar, because it was really hard to write rock and roll on a trumpet.
That's right. So if I gave you a trumpet today, would you be able to play it?
Well, I doubt it, because actually on one of my sessions, I don't know if you people remember Doc Severinsen from the Tonight Show band. I asked Doc, could I have a trumpet? And I hadn't played in about 6 years, and I just played a simple C scale, and it was like so terrible, you know. I only stopped because I got mononucleosis, and I couldn't play for a year. And I was so, when I picked it up, I could play, but nowhere near the level I had gotten to. I knew I'd never get back again. So even though it's one of the most sought-after trumpets. The old Rafael Mendez, who was a famous classical Spanish trumpet player. I know, I lost my train of thought, so.
I'm fascinated by the trumpet.
Well, the guy who cut my hair, and I live with my folks in not a very fancy part of Queens at that point, called, really actually Corona. And the guy who cut my hair's kid was taking up the trumpet, so I just gave him the trumpet because it's always nice to take something that's really valuable to you and give it to someone else, because then it becomes valuable to them, and hopefully they give it to someone else. And, you know, just like, you know, like I really, you know, actually maneuver, you know, and fight to hold on to the spirit of the Woodstock Nation, because right. Congratulations, everybody out there who has it, because you are the champions, my friends.
Did you know, Artie, though, when you were playing the trumpet, that was it? You had the music bug, and that's what you wanted to do was music.
Well, yeah. Well, that was you know, that was in the same year that I got a guitar. I Simonized cars. You know, anybody who reads my book, by the way, read The Pied Piper of Woodstock, by the way. The last thing I say is the beginning, and I say, in an instant, the seed of Woodstock, 69, reappears in our communal soul, a rebirth of the eternal love and oneness, as if in a burst of loving light, an eternal green earth appears in a celebration of peace, love, and music. We are one again. And I wrote, unlike everybody else, I refuse to take money to do it. I refuse to have a co-writer, and it's really about the music, the whole music trip, including Woodstock, like only Michael, probably Linda, and myself saw it, and we each had our own views, but it was my view of Woodstock, and that's what I wrote. I didn't have any letters saying that Artie Kornfeld's a great guy. There's no pictures of me with people, because I don't have to be standing next to someone to validate myself. I'd rather be, like I'm going to do on February 17th, I think it's February 17th, I'm going to be a speaker at the Legalize Medical Marijuana in Fort Lauderdale concert. I'm happy that I could do that, because it's going back to 71, I was actually part of Normal and was even fighting then, you know, to have medical marijuana. So
still carrying the spirit, Artie. You're still carrying the spirit, you know.
Well, I think we all are. We just have to know. And I wrote that book, so everybody now, everybody's read it, that's what happens. A burst of loving light happens, and when they hear records that they've heard, now they know the background and how these things, and what can go wrong in your life on top of the music industry, because I told it clear. So when people hear that music, all of a sudden people have said it goes from black and white to Technicolor, and the same with the thoughts about Woodstock, and then when they see the movie, it's like a whole other trip.
Right.
So I've never read the book, and you know, because when you read the book, there are very personal things that were very painful to actually tell the world about, you know. But sometimes when you fess up, you get up, you know.
And well, you signed my book, Artie, and you know what? It's my treasure. And for everyone, The Pied Piper of Woodstock is a good book to read. And you should.
But I'm not at Woodstock tonight. I'm just the leader of the Artie Kornfeld Tree.
So let's go back to the Artie Kornfeld Tree then. There's a song called Country Morning on 56th Street, which I think is probably about New York City. How did you come to write that song?
Well, when I became vice president of Capitol and I left Mercury, I went from living in Queens. Jamie was 2 years, was a year before, year and a half before Woodstock, I guess. And I moved to a place that, you know, kids from Brooklyn don't even dream they'll ever be able to live in. And all of a sudden, you know, I was living in this penthouse, 38 floors up, and but my really feelings, I never changed, because I wrote this song, and it's just called, because I really felt, even in the city, when I looked out over it and heard the noises, that as long as my family were there, as they're not here now, but they're here in my heart, you know, and Caroline certainly is wonderful, you know, and I love her dearly. And thank God she came into my life. So I just want to say, no matter who you are, it's still a country morning on 56th Street, or it's a day when you're 5 years old in Brooklyn, New York. You know. So
let's play the song. So let's play it. Everyone can hear it. It's off the Artie Kornfeld Tree. It's called Country Morning on 56th Street.
The sun comes up and it shines through the window. Reflects off the colors in the air. A rooster crows, horns honk as if to know the love I feel just lying there. It's a country morning.
and Spirit Show tonight. I'm Jed Taylor, and our musical guest is Artie Kornfeld as we go over a classic album, and it's your treat tonight because not many people get to hear the Artie Kornfeld tree, and that was Country Morning on 56th Street. So I have to ask you, Artie, on the song there, I heard something it sounded like, and maybe it was me, but it sounded like the Beatles' "A Day in a Life" or something on the guitar.
It was, yeah, yeah. I was shocked when I, you know, because you have to realize a lot of these songs I was writing the lyrics as we were playing. you know, I'd stop and take, you know, and then I have to run inside and write the next verse. No, Huey shocked me because I almost left on when I did the vocal because he played. I read the news today, oh boy, and that's a guitar lick that starts it, and I'm just saying thank you, God, for those musicians. Boy, I could listen to those guys, and I do listen to those guys with everybody because all the albums I have, they're playing on now. You know, so it's...
You know what I find fascinating when I talk to you and even when I listen to you right now? You know, as a distinguished of a career as you've had, you're still like a fan. I mean, you know, it's kind of like you're like pinching yourself a little bit that you're actually, you know, on an album, you know, with Hugh McCracken and Steve Gadd and Tony Levin and Shelly Yachus, you know, engineering it. Is that true? I mean, that's the feeling I get.
Yeah, no, it's just I don't know. It was just like I don't know. I believe whatever you do, put everything you have into it, you know, and give all you can give, you know. Don't take, you know, and give all you can give. The only taking is taking the thankfulness inside of yourself and just knowing that they're booked for fortune. Go you or I, you know, and how just how wonderful it was to have that opportunity.
Were you proud of the? I mean, I'm sure you were, but I'm gonna ask you, but. Were you proud of this album when it was done and it was mixed and then it came out, and when you listened back to it, was it what you expected? Was it what you wanted, or do you think you could have done it better? I mean,
no,
how do
no.
you feel about it?
It was perfect, and I hate it. I hated it. That's why, you know, actually, I'm listening to it as you're listening to it, you know, and it's the first time I've listened to it in many, many years, and I'm saying, gee, I like this. Who is that? You know. Yeah, I like this. You know, maybe I'll write with that guy. But I did write with that guy. You know, being an octopolar, one of the eight of me did that.
So I want to play another cut. Let's talk about the next cut. It's called "Thanks for the Sunshine." What's this song about?
Well, I don't know if I want to reveal it, but I will reveal it because I don't hold anything in. A time I was indiscreet in my marriage to Linda, and there was a very beautiful, famous singer, and I had one of those chemistry things happened, and Linda knew about it, and it was my way of saying I'm sorry, and you know, and thanks for taking me back. You know, and that's reality. I don't know if any of you guys have been in that position, but I was in that position, at least one time this time, you know.
You can't reveal who the singer was, though, right?
No, but, you know, people who know my history and who I produce know who it is, so it doesn't matter.
No, yeah. I was only kidding anyway. I was trying to...
Anyway, revealing that is just the point, because, you know, if you're going to share... Why hold punches? You know, maybe it'll help someone who's in a situation right now that they don't know what to do. You know, and I don't know. Maybe sometimes I thought to myself, maybe if a guy cheats on his wife, you know, and that's what it is. You know, maybe it's better not to tell or talk about it because you're taking the pain and putting it on the person who you love, who you want to say you're sorry to. You know, and I had no words. I couldn't even say it was a horrible time because it was a great time, you know, and it was just my way of saying thank you for sticking by this totally lunatic music guy.
So let's play the song from the heart from the Artie Kornfeld tree. It's called "Thanks for the Sunshine."
In
and I want you more than ever. Though I feel the need for different weather, sometimes sunshine. And I know we've always been together for all time, sunshine. And I know sometimes it caused you pain.
Show. I'm Jed Taylor, and I'm hosting, and our musician tonight, our guest, is Artie Kornfeld, and we're going over a great album called The Artie Kornfeld Tree. So thanks for the sunshine, Artie. A song from the heart. I heard a little bit of Neil Young in there.
Well, God Almighty, you know, I work with Neil, and I've always been a fan of Neil, so... You know, everybody you work with, everybody you know, and you watch them, and everything that you love, you know, if you do what I do, you take a little bit of that, and it stays inside you when you hear it. So there is no original song being written. It's all what people have heard on the radio, on the internet now, from other bands, from other songs from the past, you know, and the ideas stick in your head, and it's like there's a pool you go to, and it's a very special pool, and if you... Talk to Paul Simon. I watched Paul because his brother was signed to me during those days, and he went to high school with Linda, and they grew up together. And I watched Paul doing his autobiography, which was The Boxer, and it took like a year. And, you know, and I wrote my songs in 10 minutes. And 6 months after it was finished, he'd go back in and rewrite lyrics. And so everybody has a different way to connect to that place, and I always say I think Bridge Over Troubled Waters is one of the not rock songs, one of the best songs ever written, you know. But so is Lean On Me.
So did these songs already? Most of these songs on the Artie Kornfeld Tree, did they come to you quickly? I mean, it seems to me like you write that way. You like to kind of be spontaneous when you write. Is that the way all these songs were written?
Yeah, no, I know I can write, and everything does come spontaneous. I'm just surprised at what comes out, because I'm never really aiming at it. I'm just sort of surprised when I hear back what I said. You know, it's like I didn't really, you know, scope that song out till, you know, I mean, I didn't write it for that purpose, but there it was. And when I was writing it in the studio, all of a sudden came this apology, you know, and... You know, every time I leave this place, I got to return. It must have been my ego, so I should not complain. Linda, thanks for the sunshine you brought our lives. So, you know, that was all spontaneous. It was not...
Great lyrics in that song. I love that song.
Oh, it's from the heart.
Sunshine. So let's. So I want to ask you about the next song here, because this song is like one of my favorite songs. And, you know, to me, I think if you re-release this song today... to me, this song would be a hit today. It's called the Island Song. Can you, you want to kind of explain a little bit about the Island Song and how that came to be?
Well, the next two feels are actually, I did a second album with different musicians, and I refused to produce myself, so I got my friend who did the Who's Next album and engineered it too. And I said, Jack, he passed away. I said, Jack Adams is his name. I'd like you to produce me. I'm just going to be the artist. You just tell me what to do. And when I had left New York to get away from the whole after Woodstock, confusion and what happened and what didn't happen, until it took years to say, you know what, it just happened, and that's what it is. It is because it is. And took Linda and Jamie to this island in Dominica, called Dominica in the West Indies, in the Antilles, and stayed there for 6 months. And then I picked up my guitar all of a sudden, which I hadn't touched, but I brought it with me. And I was just looking at the ocean from this cliff I lived on, and this song came in about the earth, and it's about the circle of love and life that we all live in, and how we're not that different from the fish in the sea, you know, and or anything else that's beautiful and lives, and everything that God put here is beautiful and lives and should be treated with respect. So, you know, and for me anyway, works for me.
So let's play the song. One of my favorite Artie Cornfield songs is called The Island Song. Jed Taylor, and our guest tonight is Artie Cornfield, and that's the Island Song. And you know what, Artie, I think that's one of my favorite songs that you've ever done. I love that song. It's I think Jimmy Buffett stole from you, to be honest with you.
Well, I knew Jimmy, so you know we all used to go to the a place in Coconut Grove around 1971, and we'd sing songs, Danko and Neo. In fact, I remember falling off the pier. It was only like a eight table oyster bar with beer and clams, and I remember David and I falling off the pier where people could sing, you know, right with our guitars and everything. I think it was like 3 in the morning, you know. you know, one of those days before I decided to put it away.
So what's it like listening to the Island Song? I mean, how long has it been since you've actually...
Oh, no, I love it. I love the way the feel is. It's, I did something really weird, and Yui thought I was crazy because you hear the steel drums, but what it really is I took seven electric guitars. I booked extra guitars, and I didn't have six of them playing electric. I just mic'd them like they were an acoustic guitar, playing the same exact thing, and just the sound of the seven guitars gave it that flowing Island Song, because what it really says about a relationship is I bring out the woman and you bring out the man in me. And it's just about all of us, even friends. I bring out the friend in you and you bring out the friend in me. And that's why I like Facebook, because the friends I have, they bring out the me and I bring out the them. And I read what they write and they read what I write. So it's, you know, and that song is just about, you should always keep a little bit of the island in your head, because it's sure, you could sure escape there. You could meditate there. You could chant there, or you could just, I was lucky because broke as I was, I mean, we were even collecting soda bottles to bring to the one little store that only had like six shelves and turning them in for 5 cents a bottle, because we were down there broke and I couldn't get any money to that island in the West Indies. So I made it 6 months, you know, by playing, and I played for someone, they'd give me fish, you know, and then I had friends, I'd give them something, they'd give me a lettuce in the little fishing village I lived in. And it was funny because we were the only Caucasian family in the town of 5,000, and we lived 30 miles out of the town in Tucumcari, a little fishing village. And once I was part integrated into the society, it was wonderful. You know,
you've lived a very fascinating life, Art Kornfeld.
Yeah.
I have to tell you.
Well, I've
never heard that story before. I mean, I've never heard that before, and you know where you've been. And And I mean, I find that fascinating that you're on an island in a place and you're, you know, the only Caucasian family there, and you probably got along with everybody, and it probably was wonderful days.
Well, I had to stand up to the gang, you know, my first time I went to market, because and go into the bar where no white person had ever been. And I was challenged. I was called whitey by someone. And it's a very interesting story about human nature. He had just come from Oxford, and he got a medical degree, and he actually sounded like he had never been an Afro-American or an Afro-West Indian. He poured a big glass of rum, and that rum was 190 proof. It was all made on the island. And he asked me he took a sip and said, "Hey, Whitey, would you drink from my lips?" And I downed it, and I left a little left. And all the heavy guys, they all looked like Mike Tyson and stronger. And they all looked at him when he wouldn't drink from my lips, you know, and it sort of changed. And then they said, "Hey, do you want to try to play beach cricket?" And because I played baseball, even on the college level, I was immediately great at pitching and hitting, you know, or whatever it was. And we played with a tennis ball and a broomstick, just like we played stick ball in Brooklyn. And anyway, that trip on the island got me past, because Woodstock was also a very big shock, you know, to every part of me, you know, in many ways, and things that had to be worked through, you know. And on the island, I started to feel, and then I realized I was going to have to do another album. And I wrote the song just before I left the island, and it was about I was feeling again because of the music. And I had become a man again because I wasn't too proud to show my feelings.
Well, I think, Artie, let me just stop you real quick. There's a song, A Time to Remember.
That's the first cut. And I'm not singing the lead on that because I was producing a band called Swamp Gas at a different studio. And Kim Ornitz was the lead singer. And I asked Kim to sing the lead on this. And I did the arrangement, and It just came out. You know, I love this cut.
Let's play a time to remember.
And it's about now, because it's about the first line is about a bunch of, it's about them writing the Constitution, about a bunch of long-haired revolutionaries trying to dissipate their fears, saying July 4th is just a while away, let's make 76 a good year. Talk about your freedom, you know it's not enough. Talk about the bad things that are going down, just talk to you and then it's going to get rough. You know, I mean, that's what the song's saying. And it, I could have written it today, I'd write the same exact lyric.
Okay, so it's A Time to Remember off the Artie Kornfeld Tree on the Spirit Show.
Yeah.
I'm Jed Taylor, and our guest tonight is Artie Kornfeld. Just want to tell everybody, you know, the Artie Kornfeld Tree album or vinyl is hard to find, and you could probably get it on eBay if you go to eBay. There's copies there, and it is a hard-to-find classic record that we're going over tonight. Artie, listen, first of all, I've enjoyed being on the show here with you. Thank you for being the musical guest and sharing your stories about the Artie Kornfeld Tree.
Yeah, well, actually, if you really listen to the lyrics, it's not about me. It's about all of us. It's about the Woodstock Nation. There's a good time to hear it because it brings back the spirit of the Woodstock Nation. Because time to remember, it could have been now. The long ears and the short ears are still playing their games. You know, don't let the blood of 76 be remembered as having flowed in vain. And don't let the blood in Vietnam have flowed in vain, or in the East now, you know. And I could play that now and write that now and say this is a good time to remember with an election coming up and not too far away. So, what could I say? This album just got me back into producing, and it was very, very quick before I had a number one record, and you know, wasn't broke, you know. And I was able to feel again and went on.
So so let me ask you about the song we're going to go out with, which is called Feel. You know, quickly, what was the influence behind the song Feel?
I don't have the slightest idea, except I knew that I knew that I'd been sober for 6 months, and I knew that I was, and Frank and Charlie Yandolino had fly down to spend time with us, and I just knew that I was feeling again. I had come out of the Woodstock shock that I guess Michael went through too. He went through it by doing Woodstock 3. I went through it by doing stuff like this to keep it alive. So, and that's not a knock at Michael. We just, you know, people have different ways of dealing with what they're doing and different reasons for doing them. And it's all fine. When you come to Woodstock, everybody listening did it, whether they were there or not. If you're listening, you are part of the Woodstock Nation. It's not political. It's like, the last thing in my book says, in an instant, the seed of Woodstock 69 reappears in our communal soul, a rebirth of the eternal love and oneness, as if in a burst of loving light, an eternal green earth appears in a celebration of peace, love, and music. We are one again, and we can feel, and everybody hold the light. And thank you for having me on, Jed.
Thanks, Artie, and Happy New Year to everybody, and thanks for listening to The Spirit Show, and
thank you,
see everybody next week.
Thank you, Z-Man.
Feel the music moving, and just feel the soul improving. Oh, I feel this need to hold you, but it took so long to show you that I feel. Oh, this need is there to hold you, but depart to.